you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way. Together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We also will come with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night they caught nothing. When it was already dawn, Jesus was standing on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you caught anything to eat?" They answered him, "No." So he said to them, "Cast the net over the right side of the boat, and you'll find something." So they cast it, and were not able to pull it in because of the number of fish. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tucked in his garment, for he was lightly clad, and jumped into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, for they were not far from shore, only about 100 yards, dragging the net with the fish. When they climbed out on shore, they saw a charcoal fire with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you just caught." So Simon Peter went over and dragged the net ashore full of 153 large fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come, have some breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask to him, "Who are you?" because they realized it was the Lord. Jesus came over and took the bread and gave it to them, and in like manner the fish. This was now the third time Jesus was revealed to his disciples after being raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." Then he said to Simon Peter a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Simon Peter answered him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." And Jesus said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was distressed that Jesus had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Amen, amen, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to dress yourself and go where you wanted. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." He said this, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had said this, he said to Peter, "Follow me." The Gospel of the Lord. Something happened last Friday that links this 2,000-year-old story in the Gospel with you and me here today this morning. What was it? Last Friday, Pope Francis issued a document or exhortation called The Joy of Love about family life after two synods during the last 2 years, two synods about family issues in Rome. I see a link between that and our Gospel today. So first, let's take another look at the Gospel. Did you notice something strange in today's Gospel? At the end of this long Gospel, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." I thought he had said that to Peter years before, at a seashore, after another miraculous catch of fish, when Jesus told Peter he would be catching people instead of fish. That's when he said, "I thought, follow me." So why does Jesus now, again, years later, after the resurrection, say to Peter again, "Follow me"? I think the answer to that question will make clear the meaning of today's gospel for you and me, and the link between this gospel and the document that our Holy Father issued last Friday. Some of those who study Scripture for a living say that this story that we heard in today's gospel was probably the first appearance of Jesus to the disciples after the resurrection. They left Jerusalem thinking it was all over, but after some time, they decided to go back to their ordinary work, which was fishing. So when Peter says, "I'm going fishing," what he really means is that I'm going back to work. No more of this fishing for people. That's over. That's when Jesus appears on the scene, because for Jesus, it wasn't over. You notice how the apostles didn't recognize him at first. But the same apostle who earlier in the Gospel of John on Easter Sunday had ran ahead of Peter to the tomb, looked in and saw the garments there, and it says, believed. It's this apostle who recognizes Jesus again and says to Peter, "It's the Lord." And Peter can't wait to jump into the water and be at his side. There's a lot in today's gospel, like Jesus interrogating Peter three times whether he really loved him. Surely a reference to the three denials of Peter just before the crucifixion. And then the commission to Peter, "Feed my sheep." This came after that miraculous catch of 153 fish, probably a universal number, to indicate that Jesus was inviting Peter again to fish for people with him. Jesus forgave his denials and his quitting, and now gives him a new mission. And he does it by mixing metaphors, or changing metaphors. Instead of talking about fish, he starts talking about sheep. "Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep." So the fisherman is asked to become a shepherd, even to the laying down of his life for the sheep. And Jesus shows that by telling Peter, "Follow me." And we know that Peter did follow him, even to crucifixion. I think that "follow me" is the link between today's gospel and last Friday's exhortation by Pope Francis on the family. 2,000 years later, the successor of Peter is still following him by feeding the sheep in a very pastoral way, by this pastoral exhortation, the joy of love. In fact, that very word pastoral comes from that link between sheep and pasture. We're just beginning to read and understand those 260 pages of that document on the family that Pope Francis issued last Friday. But one thing that he's emphasizing for sure, and that is that the church should be more pastoral, more caring for the sheep, rather than for doctrinal correctness. For instance, our Holy Father wrote this: "We have been called to form consciences, not replace them." He said, "Yet we've often been on the defensive, wasting pastoral energy on denouncing a decadent world without being proactive in proposing ways of finding true happiness." The Pope alludes to this year of mercy at the beginning of the document and often throughout the document, saying, for instance, "The way of the church is not to condemn anyone forever." He said, "It's to pour out the balm of God's mercy on all those who ask for it with a sincere heart." And what's a special instance, for instance, is for those who are living outside of marriage, or those who are divorced and remarried. For these, Pope Francis does not lay down new rules, but he says we must, and I'm quoting again, "make room for the consciences of the faithful who very often respond as best they can to the gospel amid their limitations and are capable of carrying out their own discernment in complex situations. He continues, "We have been called to form consciences, not to replace them." Father Thomas Rees, the Jesuit who was the editor of the magazine America, says that this document is probably the best one he has ever seen come out of Rome, clarifying about conscience and sin. Francis talks about situations like a second marriage, for instance, when he says this, that they are consolidated over time with new children, proven fidelity, generous self-giving, Christian commitment, where for serious reasons such as the children's upbringing, a man and woman cannot separate. There are also those who made every effort to save their first marriage and were unjustly abandoned, or those who have entered into a second union for the sake of the children's upbringing and are sometimes subjectively certain in conscience that their previous and irreparably broken marriage had never been valid. For them, Pope Francis says, it is possible that in an objective situation of sin, which may not be subjectively culpable, a person can be living in God's grace, can love, and can also grow in the life of grace and charity while receiving the Church's help to this end. In a footnote, he says that, I'm quoting, "In certain cases, this can include the help of the sacraments," and he mentions both confession and Eucharist, or Holy Communion, which, he says, "is not a prize for the perfect, but a powerful medicine and nourishment for the weak." He instructs how people can work this out, discerning their condition, their readiness for these sacraments with their pastor or priest. Pope Francis understands that some want a more rigorous approach with no room for ambiguity or confusion. But he writes, "I sincerely believe that Jesus wants a church attentive to the goodness which the Holy Spirit sows in the midst of human weakness. A mother who, while clearly expressing her objective teaching, always does what good she can, even if in the process her shoes get soiled by the mud of the street." The shoes are the shoes of the fisherman, the shoes of the shepherd, as in today's gospel. So, the 2,000-year story you heard this morning goes on and on. Amen.